The folks at Green Mountain Dental Group deserve to take some credit for those smiling Colorado sports fans around town, especially those of our DNVR listeners who've switched to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years to make them their permanent family dentist. And they're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area. They're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like all of us. And if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you'll receive a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group, located only 15 minutes from downtown Denver. That's your first pitch. Now let's play ball. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you as always by Strava Craft Coffee. Strava CBD coffee is going to improve the quality of your morning since it's rich in CBD and CBG and will have you feeling fantastic because their CBD-infused coffee can help with so many different things, aches and pains, headaches, IBS, so much more. For me and the exercise that I put in typically multiple days of the week, Strava is helping with my recovery to reduce my soreness. So if you're looking for a supplement for your workouts and you want less of those general aches and pains, try StravaCraftCoffee.com. Now you get 25% off your first purchase when you use code DNVR25. I am your host, Patrick Lyons. And on today's podcast, of course, we're going to have our second part of the Broadcasters Roundtable with Drew Goodman, Mike Rice, and Kyle Kercheval. And in this portion of our conversation, the reins start to come off. We get to have a little bit of fun. We do talk briefly about what opening day 2021 was like as far as calling games remotely these past two seasons. If you didn't know, broadcast teams were not able to go out on the road, both at the major league and minor league level. So they were watching from a television. And while that might not seem like that big of a deal, but there are so many different things happening in a game as far as, think about a line drive to right center field. Not only are you watching to see where the ball caroms, you're looking to see if the center fielder or right fielder is going to get there first and if they have any issues getting to that ball, if their route was a good one or not. You're looking to see if the lead runner might come around from first base to score, and you don't know if the batter runner is going to advance an extra base on the throw. There are a lot of different things, and as Drew Goodman and Mike Rice explain, there have been some issues with that where you look away for half a second, or even if your eyes are fixated on the screen, you don't know what's happening and you got to figure it out. You might not make it up. I probably would make it up. I know I've done that in the past with some broadcasting experiences I've had, but no, these guys are professionals and they have those little issues. They also tell some really cool stories about being on the road and when the weather conditions are awful, when it's 2 a.m. after an extra inning game, not being able to go out and grab a bite to eat, or if a player maybe takes umbrage with some things you said about him in that night's game. There, yes, is a story of someone knocking on someone's hotel room door and saying, you know, you may have said a couple things that I wasn't too happy about, and that's probably the best story that you'll hear from it. Very enjoyable conversation. Thank you for listening to the first part. If you haven't already, go back and listen to Monday's podcast. We've got new shows this week, new guests as always, and we're really excited for what's going to be a banner year for DNVR Rockies in 2022.
I mean, the energy is, it's completely different. I mean, clearly, have it opening day, you go from zero to close to 50,000 people. So that in itself, is self-explanatory, but just overall, whether it was a June or July midweek game and there's 25 or 30,000 people, there's a vibe. I mean, we're so accustomed to watching sports. Even at the high school level, you go to a game and there's, you know, 100, 200, 300, whatever it is, there's some energy there, and that's what the fans certainly and obviously provide.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think that. You know, in 2020, when there were no fans, we also weren't able down on the field. So the energy that sometimes we pick up off of each other, you know, we've talked before games and say, hey, did you realize that so-and-so has this streak going on? And I didn't even see that in the notes today. Like, yeah, well, maybe it's a little behind the scenes. So there was not even that energy building that we were able to make off of each other. We were really just in our own little space.
Well, it leads me to, again, something you and I have talked about and something I've pontificated about, whether it be when asked on the street or on my podcast or somewhere else. And that is, we understand why we are where we are right now, and certainly where we were in 2020 and even in 2021 where there wasn't travel. Hopefully going forward, most importantly for the health of the nation, the health of people around the world, we can slowly put this pandemic in the rearview mirror. What it has limited us as broadcasters is twofold. One, when you're calling a game off a monitor from a studio, there are things you just don't see.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. And so that takes away from our craft and really trying to provide as accurate a portrayal of what is going on the field as possible, because we could all be sitting in Patrick Lyon's, you know, family room and calling the game, because that's ostensibly what we're doing. The second part, and every bit as important, if not more important, is the limited accessibility we have now to players, coaches, managers, and even fellow broadcasters, because instead of, you know, sitting in a booth, you know, an hour and a half before the game and talking to Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser before we play the Dodgers and getting, you know, up to speed on what's going on with their team, we, you know, unless I get on the phone, which I've done plenty of times with my colleagues and do that, but I can't go up to, you mentioned Nick Lofton, you know, one of the prospects that you got to cover this year. I don't know how often you got to actually visit with him. Maybe you did.
About three times.
Three times, which is crazy, because you should be having a daily conversation. Yep. Not that they're pointed questions each day. Hey, how are you feeling? What do you think about it? Just developing a relationship, which Kyle so appropriately pointed out earlier. But you never know when an anecdote emerges where Nick Lofton goes, yeah, the guy we're facing tonight, he and I played Little League Baseball since we were 7 years old together. And boy, Kyle's, you know, he didn't even have to write it down. He's going into the broadcast, fourth inning, maybe second at bat. Nick comes up and goes, you know, the Joe Smith, who he's facing on the hill, those dudes are best friends. They grew up together in Stockton, California. Yeah. You don't get that on a Zoom call. And therefore, it's not a selfish thing. It's being able to pass along to our respective audiences information, anecdotes, things that make people go, aha, that's kind of neat. That's interesting. And we've lost all of that the last 2 years. And hopefully going forward, we return to normalcy.
I think, too, what you said about missing things is really true. And I mean, you have to, when you're calling games off a monitor, you have to be okay with making mistakes that you normally wouldn't make. And you just, the way I look at it is, I sure hope that somehow there's grace that people have, you know, and say, well, even if they don't know that that's what's going on, maybe they didn't hear the mistake or they didn't hear something that I mean, I remember specifically, it might have been the 2020 season, the Rockies were playing at Arizona, and on TV, it takes a second for the cameraman to follow the ball and for the director then to get to that camera shot. It just takes a second. It's the nature of the business. But Charlie Blackman, somebody hit a ball to right field, and Charlie Blackman's like this with the ball.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's like,
about.
Was it a line drive hit or was it a line drive out? I had no idea. And now, you try and look, we have what's called, to pull the curtain back, there's an all nine. Mm-hmm. Which is an overview angle that shows all the players. They're about, you know, yay big. Yeah. You can't see the ball. And you try and train yourself.
It's a half second behind, though, too.
It is. Behind. And so you try to train yourself to look at the all nine in that split second of thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to say because I don't know what happened. I don't know what the ball did. And my point is, it's just, and I got it wrong, by the way. I had it totally wrong.
Do you remember this one, Mike? There was, I think this was this year, and it involved Blackman, and we're not picking on Charlie, but there was a ball in right field. It was clearly that it was in the corner, so you knew it was extra bases. And now there were multiple guys on, so that's always it's a podcast. It's a shit show. Yeah. All right. So because you don't know, unless you're looking quickly at the all nine, did the trail runner score? Did the third or did Stu Cole hold him up? Well, it was the other team. So did he get held up? So you don't know. And the ball's in the corner, and the next shot we get, Mike, which means you got it also, is a ball rolling on green grass. Now, it could have been in Kyle's backyard growing up. It could have been at Augusta National. I mean, wow. You had no idea. It was just a ball rolling on the grass. And I'm like, what? And what happened was Charlie, he was throwing the ball toward the plate, and it had a change of thought in mid and threw the ball literally into the ground like a 2-year-old would do.
I remember that.
Yeah, because was that Pittsburgh? Was that?
I don't. Pirates? I have no idea where it was, but you remember it, right?
Maybe. And I remember the play.
He spiked the ball.
Yes.
And so now it's rolling in the middle of right field. And that was where the shot went. And we had no idea why. What's this ball doing? And where is this ball?
The runners?
I just know it's grass and it's a baseball.
That's right.
I assume it's the baseball that was put in play. Did it kick past Charlie? We had no idea until we showed replays eventually of Charlie spiking the ball as he was, trying to hit the cutoff man.
That is a precarious situation, to say the least. And Kyle, I think you typically or frequently have had to call games on television, right? Because, I mean, I don't know with Grand Junction if you were able to go on all those road trips as well. But
so in Grand Junction, I was traveling with the team in 2019. I did not travel with the team this season with Quad Cities. And right. We did not do a remote broadcast specifically because you cannot rely upon the visual aid provided to you by the other organization. Some teams have 3, 4, 5 camera setups. Some have one that's hanging up on the press box just over the field. And the left, right, and center fielders are basically a yellow dot in the grass. It would be impossible to call a game under those circumstances. So we didn't do that. We did that purely from we just wanted a higher quality product. We can't provide anything good. So let's just hand the reins over to the other broadcast, which you can, of course, do in minor league baseball with everything being streamed online. But yeah, those are some horror stories that fortunately I did not have to partake in this last year. But absolutely, there's so much that goes into the game aside from just watching the pitch and where the ball goes into the field. You were touching on the base runners. What are the other outfielders doing? Where's the pitcher lining up to back up the play? Where there's all these other variables that go into it. And if you're restricted to just the view of the ball on the grass or just Charlie Blackmon holding the baseball waist high, what are you going to do? it is very challenging. And so my hats are off to these guys and, of course, everybody that put together some kind of remote broadcast over these last couple of years, because it is not easy.
In the early 1900s, and I mean maybe even up to the 10s and 20s, that was kind of how games were called, right? They would almost get – they weren't faxes.
Why did you say right and look at me?
I'm speechless. I've got nothing on that one. I've got no good quip to come back on that. But you remember those days, though, Drew.
Very well.
You'd commute to work on a dinosaur, all that. But right, they would. People would even go and they would stand like in a square, almost like a McGregor Square, and there'd be a gigantic billboard, and someone would get a piece of paper, and then they would show, hey, Babe Ruth just hit a double. Now he's on second base, a run scored, because that was the only way that we were able to get communication on, what happened in those games, and so. The broadcasters, I'm sure, did that as well in many ways. And I don't know if they had to make up little details here and there. And that's kind of – that was the next question.
Listen up, fam. If you are already a member of the DNVR, you know that when you come down to the corner of Colfax and York at the DNVR bar, you already get that larger beer. You get discounts on DNVRlocker.com if you come to any of the tailgates or if you want the shuttle to go from the bar over to the stadium where it's all-you-can-eat sexy pizza – all you can drink Breck brew and hard seltzer. You get a discount on that ticket as well. You know about all this already. But if you're not a member, guess what? You can try us out for 50 cents your first month. That's right, at thednvr.com. Thednvr.com. It's 50 cents for your first month. That's it. Give us a test. See if you like it. We've got great coverage of the Avalanche, the Nuggets, Broncos. Even CSU Rams right now are doing fantastic in the basketball world. CU Buffs, hey, there's a lot of guys transferring right now. You got to get the lowdown from our guy Henry Chisholm. Justin Michaels doing a fantastic job with DNVR Rams. We've got all that coverage and then some. There's still even more that we're providing you on rugby, a little Colorado Rapids here and there. If you do want an annual membership, you get a free shirt, from dnvrlocker.com as well. And guess what? If you don't want any of those things, come on down to the bar from 3 to 6 p.m. Drink specials, appetizer discounts. What more could you really ask for at the DNVR bar on the corner of Colfax and York? Breckenridge Brewery, of course, is the official beer of DNVR, and it's the official hard seltzer. That's right. When you're not drinking Avalanche Ale, Strawberry Sky, Vanilla Porter Jr., you can get any number of their hard seltzers in the 15-can sampler. Apple Pear, Black Cherry, Honeydew, Mountain Berry, Peach. You can get it all at King Supers, Costco, just about anywhere. It's Breckenridge Brewery's Good Company Hard Seltzer, an easy choice for a great company. And we've also partnered with snoozesleep.com. That's right. It's Snooze Mattress and their Snooze Flip, the most universal mattress on the planet. It's one that's actually designed to fit every body. Introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress. That's right. You can have your mattress be soft, firm, cool, or cozy. You can flip it to choose your comfort level, which is super easy. And you can also zip it with their reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. It's backed by a 122-year warranty. Yes, I said that right. 122 years. And now when you use code DNVR at snoozesleep.com, you'll get $250 off a mattress and $250 off an adjustable base with that code DNVR. And guess what? If you're a true baller and you get the dual split king with adjustable base, it's $1,000 in savings with code DNVR. Seriously, snoozesleep.com, code DNVR.
What do you do in those moments? What's one of the worst, maybe not call that you've ever made, but how creative did you have to get? Goody, I feel like you even mentioned something at one point in your career where you were just giving shout outs to people you played baseball with back in Little League because you didn't know who the players were. You didn't get the roster of who was on the opposing team. So you just got to figure it out. Yeah. What, I want to hear about those moments where, again, the audience at home doesn't really have any idea what's going on. So you might as well call the play. They just don't necessarily need to know who's, you know, running with the ball for 15 yards or who did actually hit that double. What's the identity of that guy? What are those crazy stories that you've had in your careers?
I've never taken, for the record, I've never taken anybody that I played with or grew up with and inserted them on the field. I have inserted them in the stands, though. Like, you know, I remember when I was doing the Nuggets, you know, there'd be a pass, it was errant, and it landed, and, you know, Mike Rice is sitting in the front row, and he catches it, and I'd say, oh, David Kate, nice catch in the first, you know, some guy I grew up with or whatever. The only time, and again, Kyle, who's, you know, doing minor league baseball right now, will appreciate this. I was doing a Denver Zephyr, ooh, Columbus Clippers game back in the day, and it was in Columbus, and Bucky Dent was the manager of the Columbus Clippers then. He was not the pitching coach. He was the manager. And in my multitude of notes and all of a sudden, and I was doing radio, and the pitching coach goes out to visit with the pitcher for Columbus. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, where's this guy's name? Now, this game was not being televised. I knew that. So no one can see, and we all have right in this clock in our head where like 1/1000, 2/1000, I got to say something now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, F it. Bucky Dent going out to the mound to visit with Mike Rice, the right-hander. Right? It wasn't Bucky Dent. It was the pitching coach, but I couldn't find the pitching coach's name, so I made him Bucky Dent. Nobody would know.
Bucky bleeping Dent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember years ago I was calling and Drew referenced my time calling Northern Colorado. I was doing a high school football game, and it was, I remember the school. It was Valley against Fort Lupton, and the press box, it was one of those dim press boxes. I haven't been to Fort Lupton High School in years. It's probably really nice now with all the people there. But at that point, it was just a cornfield, and one of the kids for, I think it was Fort Lupton, intercepted the ball, or he was on a breakaway. I can't remember if it was a running back or an interception, and I couldn't find his name. So I looked down to my roster and I called the touchdown because there was nobody that was going to touch this kid. And I look up and the kid is sprawled at the 10-yard line. And I'm like, I had no idea what happened. Well, he tripped. Oh. And, you know, and so then you have to backtrack and say the turf monster got him. But then it's like, why didn't you say that if you're watching the play? It was just a terrible call, just awful.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but you know, not to make an excuse, that's hard when you're calling high school games. It's hard. First of all, it's hard getting any information. And then the kid who's 28, he lost his away jersey, and he's wearing number 35
this
week.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and the parents are ticked at you because you called them Bill Smith, and it's really Fred Jones. Right. And, you know.
Yeah, but you feel horrible in that moment. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, because there's no way to hide it. You're just gone. It's like, okay, there it is out there.
During the offseason, I've been calling some Iowa high school football and basketball games. So I'm right there in the thick of it right now. One of the moments that stands out to me this last year, like I said, we weren't doing a remote broadcast. Quad Cities, we were on the road taking on the Peoria Chiefs in Peoria. And it's the second or third series of the season. And just in the way in high school when, you know, someone loses a jersey or whatever, that can sometimes happen in minor league baseball. You know, they'll slip a jersey on another guy just to get him out there, or, you know, put the manager's jersey on this guy. He'll be fine. It was sixth or seventh inning. Quad Cities brought a guy out of the bullpen with, you know, I'm watching it on a stream at home and I'm seeing him come in. And like I said, it's the second or third series of the year. You don't really recognize people by their mannerisms or what they look like. You kind of need to rely on the jersey number at least a little bit to make sure. I can tell it's a lefty, but that's about it. And he's coming in. I'm listening to the Peoria broadcaster trying to identify who this is. And he's just, he can't figure it out. And my phone buzzes, and it's a text from him saying, who is 16? And I'm like, we don't have a 16. So that's when you get in touch with Kansas City and go, hey, do we have a 16 on the roster? Oh, yeah. He came in this morning. Yeah, he's pitching today. Okay, great. It's this guy, you know, and there you go. And you find out a couple of pitches into the inning that, oh, Christian Chamberlain's now pitching for Quad Cities. He came up from Arizona yesterday.
And
there.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I think it's perfectly okay to take people behind the curtain a little bit and just be honest and say, hey, folks.
Yeah.
We do that, you know, in spring training, this happens all the time.
I was going to say the same thing.
And 88's in the game, and he's not on the travel roster or whatever. He came up from minor league camp, and you have no idea. Yeah. And it's okay to say that rather than go, oh, I'm not sure, you know. It's okay. Just like I found it the last couple of years when we're doing these remote broadcasts to say, folks, I'd love to tell you what happened. I don't know how why the baseball's in them, but we're watching it on a monitor just like you are. And it's okay.
Yeah, one of the things you learn in spring training that I learned the hard way is you better know where that travel roster is. And what it is, it's just every game you get from me, for those who don't know, you get a list of if your team is the road team, or even for the road team that you're calling, if your home team is playing someone else, you get a roster of who made the trip and what their numbers are and the minor league call-ups, because with spring training being a little bit wonky the last year or so, you know, certainly last year, I mean, guys would get in because games were seven innings sometimes or eight innings or whatever. So I learned the hard way, you better not lose that travel roster.
Yeah, they. I mean, you know, from the sixth inning on, especially the first half of spring training, it's you're going to see especially when you have wholesale changes. Interesting.
Well, Kyle, as you said, you're calling some games in Iowa football, and that's probably one of the common questions I imagine some of you, if people see you on the street or if they want a cameo from you. Hey, Drew, how are you keeping yourself busy in the off season? There's no baseball. We're all baseball guys up here. How do you keep busy? Is it just calling other sports? Is it practicing, like you said, Goody, other sports just to stay sharp? What do you do to either get ready or just enjoy that downtime during the off season?
So there's a little bit of both. I'm in the luckily to be in the full-time capacity with Quad Cities. So as everything is in minor league baseball, just because it says broadcaster on your business card, that does not mean that's all you're doing. You're selling tickets, you're selling sponsorships, you're the mascot if you need to be. We do everything. I'm busy in the off season doing stuff there. But from a broadcasting standpoint, I was fortunate to get a chance to do some Iowa high school boys basketball and some football this year. Trying to balance that with the schedule has been interesting. But just to, as Drew mentioned earlier on in the podcast, just to find a way to stay fresh, you have to keep broadcasting it. I know for me, and I know there are many more talented broadcasters out there that can probably get away with this, but for me, if I go a full off season without calling a game, the opening day next season is going to be a train wreck. Like, I have to find a way to stay fresh, and you can only do so much preparation, but until that mic, you know, until you go live and you realize, oh yeah, we're doing this again, you know, you got to channel back. What did I do last year? You have to find a way to stay fresh. So I've been doing some of those high school games, and there's just so many people in the industry to get to know. Obviously, I'm disappointed. You know, there no winter meetings this year for us, and that's a big thing for minor league guys, especially to get out there and meet everyone else out in the baseball industry. So I'm missing that a little bit this year, but it's been great to try to stay connected with everybody.
Mike, you call some other games. That was going to be one of my other questions, mm-hmm. too, is what are some of the interesting sports that you've done in the off seasons past? Mm-hmm. I think you called arena football at one point. Is that right?
Yeah, I've done an arena game or two. When I was calling Northern Colorado games, mm-hmm. I loved calling volleyball. Volleyball mm-hmm. on the radio is really? Really, really fun. It's sort of that mix between football because you have the side outs and basketball of the action while the ball's in play. That I always enjoyed that. We actually, for a couple of years, we tried wrestling on radio, and that was kind of, I don't know how well that worked. It wasn't for lack of trying, but that was, it's just hard to describe a wrestling move on
Greco-Roman
radio.
Or pro?
It was collegiate wrestling, so it was freestyle, right? I guess. I mean, it wasn't Greco-Roman. It wasn't
single leg takedown. Yes, you ordered 2 points.
Yeah, that's right. But no, during the off season, I do a little part time work with Valor Christian High School and coach up some of their kids who, you know, they have the Valor Sports Network, and it's a lot of fun to really, you know, see the kid. I never had the opportunity in high school to be involved in broadcasting. I can only imagine for the kids who really kind of take to it and want to pursue it. And it's not just Valor. There's a lot of schools now who are, you know, have their own broadcasts and all. And I think that's just awesome because it really gives young people a chance to get a leg up and to really experience it and to see, is this something I want to pursue? Because I started, you know, my second year in college, which I felt was really late at that point. So help the kids and call a few games for Valor Christian, stay up on the Avs and Nuggets and the other sports teams and try and get a little downtime with the boys too.
Goody, I know you've done some high school coaching as well, right?
Yeah, I coach at Arapahoe on their baseball staff, and I do some college basketball, Pac-12 Network, and some other entities, and obviously my weekly podcast, and go skiing tomorrow, and play a lot of tennis. And
have you ever called tennis before? I'm curious of the maybe not the strangest sports, because hey,
tennis isn't strange
to everyone. You know, your sport that you love is your sport. But again, that's kind of outside the box. Volleyball, right? Tennis is, I don't think I've ever turned the radio on and listened to a tennis game, but
yeah, I've done tennis on television. In 1990, I did the ATP Tour, which was on Prime Network, mm-hmm. you know, a network that doesn't exist any longer. But in fact, I did the first ATP event in mainland China. It was in Beijing, and appropriately, American Michael Chang, who had roots to China, won the event.
Wow.
So I do, you know, when you asked earlier us about what you recollect and calls, and I you and I again have talked about this before. For me, I don't even know who won the game the night before. I have really good short-term retention. I study for the game, and I can give you all sorts of superfluous and stats going in, but the next day I've let it all go. But I do remember that. Earlier we were talking about journey and relationships, and I think it's so important. Whatever your I sound fatherly here, but whatever you're pursuing in life, you know, if you aspire to be, you know, in the corner office at the top of the building, you better enjoy the road too, because you're going to occupy that office for, generally speaking, a shorter amount of time than it took you to get there. So whether it's doing, you know, high school football and basketball or volleyball or whatever it is in Iowa or you know, out on the plains of eastern Colorado, you know, you better enjoy those experiences because it's all part of your journey. And again, not trying to get overly philosophical, but I really believe that, and I believe it applies whether you're in broadcasting or, you know, trying to be the CEO of a company.
We love saving you money, and we love companies trying to help save the world. That's why we've partnered with Ball Aerospace and Technology. And guess what? Right now, they're looking for production technicians. They're paying them $27 an hour, and they're looking to give you an increase at 6, 12, and 18 months. They want to give you a 401k for retirement, a stock purchase ownership program, annual bonuses, and guess what? Comprehensive insurance active the day of hire. Text GOLDEN to 77222 to get linked to all of their open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN. That's jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN. You can take that hard-earned paycheck and then buy yourself a home with the expertise and support of Chevalier Mortgage. Chevalier Mortgage's ultimate goal is to take the stress out of buying and refinancing, two things that can be very stressful, but not with Chevalier Mortgage. Because what they do is strive to give their borrowers options with their full financial picture in mind, with the highest level of integrity, always putting you, that's right, you first. Keep in mind, if you already own a home, guess what? You know prices are going up, and that's creating natural equity in your home. So if you've got mortgage insurance, there's a good chance you can refinance out of that and make the bubble work for you. They've got a fun perk right now for DNVR listeners. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com, and you can actually enter to win a free DNVR shirt or DNVR hat of your choice when you do. Most importantly, you can get set up with free consultation to discuss all your options at dnvrmortgage.com. Call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or just visit www.dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631. The NFL season is winding down. The playoffs are here. They're right around the corner. And at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, the offers are getting even more amazing. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Don't miss out on this action. DraftKings customers can also get their NFL action with same-game parlays. This is when you combine multiple bets from the same game and you get an even bigger payout. So the more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR and new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team and win $200 in free bets if they're victorious. That's promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
I did think of something along those lines when Kyle's talking about all the, there's 120 minor league baseball teams. So those are all young folks, men and women who they're gunning, Mike, Drew, they're gunning for like your jobs, you know? And so obviously you have to keep sharp, but every day you got to grind it out and you got to do it. And so I'm curious, like, do each of you have that moment? And maybe it's baseball, maybe it's in other places where you kind of just stop and go, man, can you believe where I'm at? Can you believe how lucky I've gotten, which we all know it could end tomorrow in some form or fashion, but what does that moment look like for you, or what's been a big moment in your careers where you've stopped and really said, whoa, this is something big right here, right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
We're getting deep.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I never see myself as having arrived because I remember when I first got to Greeley and got to Colorado in 91. I mean, I was watching Drew's games on Prime. I remember Prime Network. I really do. And we met each other when I was calling UNC games. So I just don't see myself on that level. I just don't because I think you always sort of see yourself, at least I do, as the kid, right? As the one who's just always trying to, you know, take another step. And I don't even know how to answer that question. I go to work, I try and do my best work every day, try and be prepared, try and do it with the best attitude, and, you know, try and make a positive impact on people. And then you hope, as, you know, talking about what Drew mentioned earlier, the subjectivity, you hope that people like your work, or more people like it than don't. And then when you have those moments of growth or learning that people go, oh, all right, he's, you know, that we'll let it slide this time. I don't know how to look at it other than that. I really don't. I've never been really comfortable saying, well, this was a great call that I had, because I'll always find something that I can do better in a call, in a game. And it took me a long time to realize that there's no perfect broadcast. And once that was a really sort of big evolution for me personally. Not again, not to get too deep or too fatherly, but it's you realize that it's okay to make some of the best moments come out of mistakes, and some of the funniest moments come out of mistakes. And when you sort of realize that you can have fun with sort of a mistake that you make or a funny exchange with your broadcast partner, that's when I think those magical moments happen that you can't script and you can't predict, but you know when you're in one, it's like, that was really cool. So it's kind of a meandering answer, but I'm not sure how to answer it.
I love what you just said about, like, I feel like I haven't arrived yet, which again, anyone who's watching this right now was at, well, obviously you have, like, you're on this set and you're on KOA, you're right next to Jack Corrigan, but yet I have that same feeling and I understand kind of where that comes from, because again, at any point it could disappear, or you've always been that kid. You're always, I just want to be that thing. And you might not even realize it when you get there.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's always wanting to improve.
Yeah.
And yet also, so, I mean, at some point you do recognize, all right, it's not my first year in the business anymore. I mean, so I think there's that balance that you have to draw, but yeah, it's always, I've always sort of described myself as a work in progress. I'm always trying to learn new things, to sound better, to incorporate different elements into a broadcast.
Yeah, I've learned you can't take yourself too seriously. Obviously, you're trying to be a professional and put together the best product you can. But when you have that time, when you stumble over that guy's name, you just kind of have to roll with it. And you make the best of a situation, or you call a ground ball and it's actually a line drive. You find a way to get around it. But for me, as far as the appreciation, I guess, for what I get to do, I try to remind myself every single day. Some days it's harder than others, but 9 times out of 10, it's not hard at all, because as soon as I put on that headset and I'm about to go live in the pregame show and I look out and I see, you know, modern Woodman Park, there's a Ferris wheel in left field and the Mississippi River over there, and I'm about to call a professional baseball game, that it hits me almost every time that, yeah, this is what I'm doing, and it's very special, and I do not try to take it for granted. And you have, in talking about the grind, you have to appreciate that journey and that grind. You know, when it's game 75 and you're writing up the game notes again, and you're just like, oh, I just did this like 5 hours ago. You have to find the love in it. And if you don't really love baseball or football or whatever you're calling, it's probably not for you. You have to love the process of not only the day-to-day in season, but just climbing the ladder in the industry. So I'm still so young and naive, you know, I love every bit of it. I think it's still the greatest thing on earth. You have to love that, you know, 16-hour road trip to Billings. Like, you gotta embrace it. You have to love every minute of it. And so I try to do that every day.
Yeah. That's an awesome attitude, and for both, not that my advice or thought on it means anything, but I will tell you, and I'm not being gratuitous here, I've been fortunate and privileged to do what I do for now, you know, 35, 36 years, and I never take it for granted. I continue, hopefully, to learn, and as Mike said and Kyle said, you know, you're always trying to get better. And there are numerous times during a season I'll be walking down, you know, up the stairs from the dugout onto the field, or down the stairs from the clubhouse, last couple of years aside, because we haven't had the same access. And it's Dodger Stadium, or it's, you know, Citi Field in New York, or it's Wrigley Field. And you pinch yourself, because it's you're so fortunate to do what you do. And so I try never to take it for granted, and I mean that. I really do. I'm not just saying it because it sounds like the right answer. And I feel that, and I think it's a good thing to do, to remind yourself, because there are going to be times where you're grinding, and there are times where you get frustrated, and there are times where, you know, I'm an extremely competitive person, and I've learned to kind of hone back sometimes when I want to get pissed off. You know, I'm still rather immature, so but I, the overall thing, to remind yourself of that, I do it on a regular basis, and obviously these guys do as well based on what they said. And yeah, we're lucky, man. We're lucky.
Yeah, it's living the dream, because I can, as you're talking, I can think about all those stadiums and what they've looked like when I get my ticket ripped, right, or scanned now at this point with my dad going to ball games, and now to be able to go to those stadiums and to be working it, right, to get paid, and that's mm-hmm. you're now on the other side. That is, it's magical, it's special, but you're still that same person. You're still that kid, as you said, Mike, that just was a fan, and you're still a fan. You never stop being that fan, and yet it's what you do.
Yeah, and you do look at it differently, certainly. I mean, it when I go to a game now as a fan with my boys, I mean, I don't I almost have to remind myself to cheer, because it's just you sort of it just sort of burns out of you. I mean, because that's not part of broadcasting a game usually anyway, except for maybe some really special moments. But no, I mean, you have to appreciate it. How can you not? I've always said it's not digging ditches, and it's working, but it's hardly working at the same time. I mean, what we get to do is amazing. And like Drew and like Kyle said, you know, I try and be grateful for it every day, because the alternatives are just not as good.
Doug Moe had a great line years ago. He said, and Doug would fire his jacket and everything, but he would always remind, I think, himself and those around him that we're all working in the toy store of life.
Right.
It's sports. At the end of the day, it's sports. So
I love that. Before we go out here, two more little talking points. One, I got to hear your worst road story. And so, Kyle, you said, you know, like, and again, I'm sure it's nothing when you're in the majors, but the bus trip, or like you said, to Billings, it's 16 hours, really?
Yeah, I think because we're coming from Colorado Springs. So, yeah, it was the longest trip you could have taken, I think, geographically. But yeah, the road trips, obviously, I mean, that's just quintessential minor league baseball. The road trip, you know, yeah. I learned, I forgot to bring a pillow on our first road trip of the year, and everyone was looking at me like, really? Like, sorry, this is new. Like, I'm new to this. That's my bad. But it's those little things. I remember the hotel we would stay at. This is, of course, back in the Pioneer League when I was with the Grand Junction Rockies, in Ogden, Utah, was haunted. It's like this hotel that's been there for, you know, 200 years, and you know, 40 people have died in it. Like, it's just this crazy place. And there were members of the staff that wouldn't want to stay there. They'd go stay in a separate hotel because they didn't want to mess with the entities in the Ogden Hotel. I forget the name of it. But I never came away with like a real ghost story, but the elevator did put me on the wrong floor a couple of times. And so that's always a fun experience. And yeah, you know, you're going to think about where you're at when it's 2 a.m. and you're laying there in your hotel room. But I haven't had any like super crazy road trip stories, fortunately. And I only have one season on the road. You know, I've been in minor league baseball for 3 years, but I've only had one season's worth of road trips. So now when we have the whole, High A Central season coming up this next year, I think we're driving all the way to Dayton from Quad Cities and Fort Wayne. So we've got a couple of long road trips in there. But I'm excited. I love checking out the new towns. I love that road trip process. I'm still just a fan of the game and just loving being out there. So hopefully next time we do this, I'll have a good story for you from the 2022 season.
Yeah, and hopefully when you go through Lansing at, you know, when a game is over at 1 a.m. on a Tuesday night, there'll be someplace for you to grab a bite to eat. Because I know that's the biggest challenge.
That's a big one. Yeah, thank you for bringing up what really matters, Patrick. Yeah, that's the big thing. If your hotel is, you know, I think the hotel in Orem, Utah, the closest thing was like a Krispy Kreme, which is great, you know, but you can only utilize that during certain hours, not when your game gets over. That's for sure. But yeah, you got to know where the food spots are. You got to have a mall nearby where the bus can stop off, and maybe you're lucky you get a food court, you know, get some options. So
don't be too greedy.
Yeah. I don't ask for much, you know, one or two options.
I had two quick memories. When I was calling UNC basketball, the Bears were Division II at the time and in the North Central Conference, and we had a road trip. You know, they had travel partners, and the Bears, or the North Dakota schools, state and North Dakota State, were travel partners. And one of the trips we went to Fargo, it was minus 80 wind chill.
Brutal.
It was I've never been so cold in my life. Now, thankfully, it was a basketball trip and we weren't out very, very long. Oh, my goodness, that was cold. And then when I was calling CU women's basketball, we had a road trip to Iowa State, and they chartered, you know, about a 30-seat plane. And I don't know how the pilot landed this plane in this windstorm. Oh. I mean, we had no business landing. We were doing the side to side, and not just a little bit. And you know, in the moment, you kind of, I'm not afraid of flying. Some people are, obviously. And in the moment, I'm like, okay, this is more than I'm used to. And then you look back and you, how did that dude land the plane? I mean, it was insane.
Yeah.
It really was.
I who knows? I can't remember everything. But we're fortunate now, and you know, you travel on, you stay in great hotels, and you're on chartered aircraft with the team and all that kind of thing. So there are multiple times though that you know, like anybody, you get stuck in an airport if you're doing a collegiate game or that sort of thing. I remember at one point I was doing, I don't remember, skiing and basketball and football, and it was that time of year where they all kind of melded together, and I was in 21 airports in 7 days. I remember that.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's stories I've forgotten of, there's some stories that probably can't tell, and one of our directors had a great one with, you know, I think probably too much to drink and smashing a toilet inadvertently and had no idea how that happened and the flood and whatever. But
well, I know, yeah. Very famously, one of the biggest home runs hit in the state of Colorado in Denver for the Zephyrs. You got a nice knock on your door from that gentleman one night. I know you've told that story.
Joey Meyer. That was we were actually on the road, and I'll repeat the story very quickly. Joey Meyer, for those that don't remember, way back in the 80s, played for the Zephyrs. He was in the big leagues for a little bit. He actually became a pretty big star in Japan. Huge man. He was like 6'5 and 200 and he was listed at like 6'5, 265. And oof. I was doing a Zephyr game in Oklahoma City, and it was sometime in the 80s, late 80s, and when he came up to the plate that night, and this game was on television, and I'm pretty sure, and he came up to the plate that night, and I said, you know, here's, you know, big Joey Meyer. I said something like, you know, he's listed at 6'5", 265, 270, 275. I was really trying to emphasize how big a human being he was. I wasn't making fun of his weight. Well, literally around midnight that night in our hotel, on the phone, and not cell phones, just on the phone talking to my girlfriend at the time, and it's midnight, and I hear, you know, my pounds on my door. So I, you know, hold on, I look through the peephole, and it's like kind of the proverbial, I'm looking at a chest. And I open the door, and it's Joey Meyer, and he's hammered, and he's like, Drew, why my girlfriend said you were making fun of my weight, and he's kind of mumbling, and I let him in the room. Not that I got any alternative, but he said, my girlfriend said you were making fun of my weight on the TV tonight, and I said, no, Joey, I just said, you know, I'm emphasizing you're a big man. Went through the thing, and he goes, okay. And he turned around and he walked back out. I didn't know if he was going to like throw me out the window or what was going to transpire. And my whatever version of what I said appeased him. And he went on his merry way.
Yeah. That was a close call, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I was like, it would take like three of me to be Joey's size.
You probably had to have a cup of coffee just to calm yourself down a little bit at that point.
Yeah, I remember that story though. That was funny. He was actually, you know, like so many big people. He was like a teddy bear of a guy, you know, he was, you know, had a couple libations and thought he would come visit.
So if broadcasting wasn't what you did for a living, if you didn't pay the bills with sports, what would, where could you have seen yourself ended up? What would have been the job for you? Your family's furniture store, or, you know, some kind of galvanized nail factory in your town? What would it be? Where would you be right now if you didn't make it as you're making it right now? It's for anyone.
I always said I wanted to do two things. I wanted to do what I've been fortunate enough to do, and the other thing was coach, and obviously I and coach football. I love football from a coaching standpoint. I love coaching baseball as well, but such a brutal life coaching. So I would probably say, and I'd take my LSATs back in the day. My dad was an attorney, so I probably would have gone to law school and done something with that degree. Now, I don't know how long I would have hung a shingle. I don't know if I would have gravitated toward being a sports agent, but I would like to think in some way, shape, or form, I would have been in sports. It's that important to me.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have played, beyond college. Unfortunately, nobody wanted me to play beyond college. So that's kind of my answer to that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I really
neither do I.
I was an English major, and I wasn't going to teach. So I wasn't going to get a PhD. That was for sure. I really don't know. Although it probably would have. I could now see myself having gotten a law degree potentially. Now at the time that wasn't anywhere on the radar, but because I was just pursuing broadcasting, but if that hadn't worked out, I could see that maybe where I. But I really don't know. I have no idea.
There is no plan B, as Jim always
said. As it turned out.
Yeah. Safety net.
Yeah, my dad probably would have tried to talk me into banking. I don't think I could have done that. I can't do that now. There's no way. I love broadcasting because every day is different. I would need some kind of gig where I'm not sitting in a cubicle for 12 hours. But I think, like Drew, I think I would have found my way back to sports in some way. I could potentially see myself maybe have becoming a teacher, not mostly to teach, but to coach. I think that would be, I have a long history of education providers in my family. So maybe those genes would have trickled down in some way. But I got to coach some youth baseball a little bit in high school. Absolutely love that. And so that's something I might have found myself in. But it's very hard. Like Mike said, I'm doing what I wanted to do since I was 12 years old. I don't remember much before 12 and what I wanted to do then. It was probably play for the Colorado Rockies. And obviously I'm not doing that, nor will I ever. So I think for the better, though.
Yeah, even being the voice of a local little league seems like it would be a good side gig, right?
Maybe professional wiffle ball player. Maybe I can do that,
Maybe. Well,
that's kind of fun.
That still could be in your future.
That could be. Who knows? Who knows?
You never know. Drew, you could be calling those games in the off season.
There you go. Hey, what a fall from grace that would be.
Yeah. You know what?
It'd be an honor, though.
Whatever. If there's a microphone, probably all three of us are in, right?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Guys, this has been really fantastic. I appreciate you all coming down to the DNVR bar on the corner of Colfax and York. Members, you get bigger beer when you're here, discounts on all of our gear, exclusive content from the Avalanche, Nuggets, Broncos, Rockies, etc. This is fantastic. Thank you for piloting this program. Hoping to do some more like this. We'll have to have you back. And after each of you calls another championship series, we'll do it again, put it on the books. It'll be fun. You can reach out to Drew. He's on Twitter at DrewGoodman42 and Cameo as well.
You're hitting that Cameo hard. Yeah. Thank you.
I just found out about it. And I'm like, I think you should be pushing it a little bit more. I think it's cool, good stuff.
I'm a bad salesperson.
No, it's all right. Mike Rice, you are at MRice, KOA. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to plug? I mean, Goody's got the podcast. I don't know if you're still on air during the week doing anything. You're just managing things in general.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much just trying to keep the ship straight, so to speak. And downtime with the boys and with the families.
Actually, I have Mike's colleague this week. It's going to be a two-parter. Dave Logan, an old friend. We talk a lot about, broadcasting and his coaching and things off the kind of beaten path a little bit this week and this next couple on the podcast.
See, you're doing better with your salesmanship now. I think Mike's gonna be
Mike reminded of it because Mike's been a KOA for a long time, and obviously Dave's been a fixture there forever.
I could listen to Dave all day. Yeah, I mean, he has great stories and what a background.
Yeah,
what a background.
Yeah. Everything he's done well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, make sure you're subscribing to the DNVR Rockies podcast, as well as the Drew Goodman podcast. And you can reach out to Kyle on Twitter if you'd like, at Kyle T. Kirch.
That's right. Been Kyle T. Kirch forever. It's in every way. Reach out. Tune into some Quad Cities River Bandits games this year. Watch the future of the game, folks. Come on.
Royals got a really good system. They got a lot of really great players, as you said.
They
won the championship this year, so Royals are going to be exciting. Keep your eye out for them.
Absolutely. Hopefully. Absolutely.
Again, thank you guys so much. Appreciate everyone out there listening, following along on our YouTube channel, as well as listening to the podcast. So for DNVR Sports, Drew Goodman, Mike Rice, Kyle Kercheval, I'm Patrick Lyons. Thanks for tuning in to the DNVR Rockies podcast.